Hello. On this week's program, we listen back to a September 2005 conversation with superstar soprano Renee Fleming. Although we've previously aired excerpts, we've never before broadcast the full interview. We'll also listen to songs from her latest CD, Homage, The Age of the Diva, one of the many superb thank you gifts we have available when you call 1-866-809-9784 and pledge at the $75 level. That's all ahead this morning, creatively speaking.
Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.
And this morning we have a very special treat for you indeed. We're still waiting to find out if we made our goal for the last hour, but it's looking very hopeful. Last time we looked, one left to go. So thank you for so much for that. It's really important what you've done in the last hour, and when you receive those CDs, it'll remind you of this morning, and it's just a superb experience. Wonderful, wonderful recording. So we're now here in this hour hoping to add your support to our offer of Renee Fleming's new CD, Homage, The Age of the Diva. Your call at 1-866-809-9784 will shortly have that CD wending its way to you.
And this programming is possible only because of support of people like you. Every single contribution is important. Please, if you're a renewing member, please give us a call. If you're a new member and have been listening to us, now's the time to pick up the phone and dial 1-866-809-9784.
Renee Fleming is one of those rare artists today, a classical musician who is a genuine household name and a superstar of international proportions. Since her breakthrough in 1988, she has captured the hearts of music fans around the world on the opera stage, as a soloist with the world's great orchestras, and in concert recitals as well as performances on television and radio. Her recordings typically top the charts, and she has developed an enormously loyal and dedicated fan base. A native of Indiana, Pennsylvania, Renee Fleming grew up in Rochester, New York. Although both of her parents were singers and voice teachers, she didn't automatically assume that she would make her career in performing. She did, however, consider a career in music education, and while studying at the State University of New York, she lent her vocal talents to a jazz trio. From there, she took up graduate studies at both the Eastman School of Music and the Juilliard School. Her early awards included winning the 1988 Metropolitan Opera National Auditions and a Fulbright Scholarship to Germany. Her break came in the same year as her Metropolitan Auditions win, when she took the lead in The Countess in The Marriage of Figaro at the Houston Grand Opera with Christoph Eschenbach on the podium. The following year, she made her debuts with the New York City Opera and Covent Garden, and 1991 saw her first appearance at the Metropolitan Opera when she was called to substitute for an ailing Felicity Lott in her by-then signature role as the Countess. Renee Fleming was in her late 20s when she came to prominence, and when we met, I first asked about the years between leaving Juilliard and that breakthrough.
How many variations on the Renee Fleming myth have you heard? I mean, The fairy tale is that you were a late bloomer and you suddenly came from nowhere and became this enormous star. And obviously the truth is different to that. Have you heard that story told many different ways by people other than yourself who aren't there?
Well, you know, it's true, actually. It's not even a myth. I mean, but by late bloomer, we're talking, I think Brin and Cecilia, for instance, came to prominence in their mid-20s. I was 28 when I started working. So we're talking a few years when I won the Met competition. What didn't happen for me, however, was that I wasn't recognized immediately as a special talent. So I kind of limped along for another 3 or 4 years, but working. But under the radar, which is, frankly, much better. It enabled me to kind of get my bearings and get some experience and all of that without the scrutiny of the world at large, the larger world, which would say, oh, my God, we're hailing, we've discovered this great talent, and then 2 years later, well, they actually turned out not to be so good.
And it happens often. It
happens all the time. And I don't think I've ever been, by nature, a thick-skinned enough person to have withstood that at that time. I think I would have given up. And nor was I technically secure enough. So it was better for me to go on and be an overnight success much later.
It's well documented that in the early part of your career, you really pushed yourself. I mean, all young musicians have got to challenge themselves, but you made some very, very challenging choices regarding what music you would sing, for instance, for auditions. Looking back on that now, why did you do that at the time, do you think?
Well, it was a simple misunderstanding on my part of, and kind of imagining that if I didn't sing things that were difficult for me, no one would be impressed. And although there is a grain of truth in that, people know if someone is consistently being very safe in their repertoire choices, and then they would know to say, well, why aren't you singing anything above the staff? In my case, it was a mistake at the time. I should have been singing soubrette repertoire and repertoire, or even the Rusalka aria, which eventually did make everything kind of get going. And we're talking about a matter of like maybe three years difference. However, in retrospect, I think it was good because I needed that time to develop. I had a long way to go in every facet and every aspect of what I was doing. So it was good to have the time to learn how to sing a little bit better, because had I gotten an engagement, that would have led to another engagement, which would have quickly led to an engagement that I couldn't sing. And so people would have found, I would have been found out soon. So it's a mixed bag. And as you say, and you know, as looking back on it, of course, it's all worked out fine, you know, and I can't really complain in retrospect, but it's funny how these things happen.
An excerpt from Vici d'Arte from Puccini's Tosca from Homage, The Age of the Diva, the latest CD by René Fleming, with the Mariinsky Theatre Orchestra conducted by Valery Gergiev. And we would love to send you this CD as our way of saying thank you for your support of this and all of the other programming you help create when you become a member of WRTI at the $75 level.
What beautiful music that was. And you know, the great thing about this CD is that this is all music that she chose herself. And so it's a very, not only is it, can you experience beautiful, wonderful music, but you're also getting insight into René Fleming, who is this wonderful artist of our time, because she went through and chose all this music by herself. So it's a very personal CD as well. And it's a sharing, René Fleming is sharing with us her favorites. And the Pledge Drive is a way of you sharing your musical taste with us. Please go to the phone right now and dial 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784.
Let's return now to our interview with René Fleming. Although her new album is subtitled The Age of the Diva, Miss Fleming has in the past stated her dislike for this term.
I don't in any way want to appear sycophantic, but as world famous as you are and as well regarded as you are, you're still incredibly grounded. Was there ever temptation, or is it in your nature that the ego would have taken over, that you would have become diva-esque in any way off stage?
Well, my theory about that is that people are either prone to that syndrome or they're not. And I've seen young singers who are, and I've watched them change, you know, quickly. And I think it has to do with a personality issue. It has to do with who they are by nature, in a sense. And I even tried. I went through a period where I felt really badly about not being diva-esque, about not being more temperamental, not being kind of, you know, I wanted to be the fodder of dinner conversations so badly. And try as I might, I could never get anything more than, oh, yeah, Renee Fleming, isn't she nice? And I hated that, and I've just since come to accept it, and I've just decided, well, it's who I am, and so there you have it. And maybe I can excel in other areas.
There is a theory also abroad that the greater the talent, the smaller the ego.
Well, you know, I have to say, when I've met people who do reach the top of their fields in any kind of world, they tend to be pretty wonderful. And one can say, you know, why wouldn't they be? They've achieved what they set out to achieve. There's not the frustration. There's no bitterness. There's none of the negativity that climbs into it. A lot of us, and myself included, tend to be insecure. But that doesn't necessarily turn us into monsters.
Diva is not a phrase that you're very fond of.
Well, it has... Unfortunately, today it has two things. One, somewhat negative connotations in our world. And two, it's taken a much, much larger meaning, and it now applies mostly to pop singers in the public's eye and in the ear. And, you know, the people have forgotten that it was ever an opera reference. So I think it's better to leave it to the side. I mean, it does, you know, in its original form mean goddess. I mean, and insofar as an artist can come on stage and transcend who they are to create art and bring and touch and move the audience, I hope I'm a diva. I mean, I hope that I fit that bill. I certainly try to. But the rest of it, I think, can stay firmly in some other place.
Je verse le poison dans cette goutte d'or from Massenet's Cleopatra, René Fleming with the Mariinsky Theatre Orchestra conducted by Valery Gergiev. That's from Homage, The Age of the Diva, her latest CD on the Decca label. And you can make this wonderful CD a part of your collection when you dial 1-866-809-9784 and join or renew your membership of WRTI at the $75 level. Once again, 1-866-809-9784. Actually, a lot of people are responding to this, and it's so wonderful to actually hear the voice speaking behind that wonderful singing, and she is incredibly charming. I'm sure, as Susan is very aware, we often get the nice part of people that you show up with a microphone and people immediately start behaving, but you really do get a sense from Renee Fleming that there is that greater the talent, smaller the ego.
And it's great to... I'm really enjoying this interview because you ask questions that I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering about. And when you call somebody a diva, what does that mean? And do people aspire to that, or do people not want to be that? And it's creative. One of the things that Creatively Speaking does sort of on a regular basis is have interviews with people like this and get behind the stage persona and see the human side of these people and the humor. And it's a wonderful way to provide insight into some of our greatest performers.
And it really is, a lot of the time you hope that you're asking the questions that the listener has. And I guess insofar as you and I are both fans, that kind of helps that you have an interest in the subject before you get there. And sometimes you're just incredibly curious in the first instance.
So right now, if this is the kind of programming you enjoy, please put a value on what this programming means to you. Every gift is important. please go to the phone and call 1-866-809-9784.
1-866-809-9784. Renee Fleming, a wonderful artist. You only get to hear her on WRTI. Renee Fleming first came to national attention in 1988 when she was hailed for her performances as the Countess in The Marriage of Figaro at the Houston Grand Opera with Christoph Eschenbach at the podium. Since then, the two have maintained a close personal and professional relationship. I asked Renee Fleming how this relationship has developed over the years.
The thing that happened with Christoph is because we had the available time and that point had a decent rehearsal period, he worked with me every single day. And, you know, I was nervous and I was fresh and very young, and it was kind of a great opportunity for both of us to get to know each other. And he was so generous with his time, and it paid off so well, because he had me. One of the things a great conductor will do is require an artist to take risks and push us and encourage us to go beyond our sense of our own limitations. And he's always done that in spades, whether through a luxurious tempo or through a certain kind of phrasing. And all the great conductors do that. So it paid off in a sense that the performance was successful. And after that, we just started premiering all kinds of things together. Several Strauss roles for me, several Mozart roles, other concert repertoire. And we developed a very close musical relationship and friendship as a result.
And that's continued. I mean, you've stayed in contact over the years. You've worked together many times. What's the nature of the relationship now? Because obviously both of you have moved on a little bit from in the last 18 years or so since you first met. When you're singing under his direction, what's the interface?
Well, you know, it's what happens is that we're constantly trying to put our heads together and find time to work together, because it's so satisfying for both of us. And but that is a terrible challenge, because we're both so in demand and so busy. And he works far more than I do. I mean, as singers, of course, we're somewhat limited to the amount of time we can really spend on stage. The voice is more fragile. A conductor can drive himself every single day, and he does.
And he does.
Yes. So it's been a challenge, but we manage to find something, one or two things every season that we can do together. Of course, we've also recorded a couple of things together, which for me have been real luxuries to have him there beside me in what's arguably a very concentrated experience.
Le ciel rayon, l'oiseau chanté, au léger hirondelle from Gounod's Mireille, René Fleming from Homage, the Age of the Diva. With apologies for my pronunciation.
This is wonderful. We're getting calls and we want to keep this momentum going. This is a wonderful opportunity to support the music you love and get a wonderful thank you gift with this fabulous CD with all of this music chosen by René Fleming.
And it's a timely reminder that this is the place that you come to hear the likes of these great artists, such as René Fleming. It's this truly is wonderful. This has been in my car for about the last 2 weeks, and I keep being surprised by the amazing depth and breadth of this woman's talent. she seems, when you think that she's just excelled herself in a particular piece of phrasing or she's extended herself as far as she can, the next track you hear something completely different and it completely blows yourself away. This is a CD that we can really highly recommend, and this is a great way for you to get it by supporting your classical music station, the station that brings you this kind of wonderful vocal music, and of course the opera on Saturday afternoons. 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784.
Think of this as your contribution to WRTI as a subscription. You pay for newspaper, you pay for magazines, you pay for your electric bill. This is something that you get every day when you turn on your radio, but you decide how much it will cost you. You can contribute at the $10 a month level. That's a very popular level. You can give more. This CD is
available at the $75 level.
Right, but any amount above that will get you the CD and all sorts of other premiums if you want them, or you can just make the contribution. But the important thing is to go to the phone now and dial 1-866-809-9784. 866-809-9784.
Let's return to our interview with Renee Fleming. Her latest CD with the Mariinsky Theatre Orchestra, conducted by Valery Gergiev, is called Homage, The Age of the Diva. It's our special thank you gift to you when you call 1-866-809-9784 and renew or become a new member of WRTI at the $75 level.
You're now, although my mother will not be pleased that I bring this up, but you're now in your 40s. This is a time when you're getting additional gifts vocally. Anything you've noticed in particular, or is it something that is such a gradual change that it's... it's difficult to perceive.
Well, your mother trained you well. You're very well. At least you said it in a very nice way. Thank you. The difference, what I feel now is a certain stability and a certain trustworthiness, knock on wood. I am superstitious, to the voice, which makes it a joy to sing. It took a long time for my voice to really settle down and know where it wanted to go every day without giving me a tremendous amount of anxiety. What's not happening, interestingly enough, at least not yet, is that the weight that one expects with a more mature sound or that moving into heavier repertoire, that really doesn't seem to be happening.
But I mean, it's...
It may, but
it's
still
even apparent in your speaking voice. I mean, there is a greater resonance there that a 35-year-old simply doesn't have, to my ear at least.
Hmm. Well, I am also at the end of a cold.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing it today, too. I think I sound like a man, actually.
Aside from vocal warming exercises, I mean, do you have a sort of a pre-concert routine? Do you put a certain piece of costume on first? Do you not wear the color apricot on stage? I mean, do you have any superstitions that you any rituals you perform before you go on stage?
No, I don't really. No particular rituals. Those are dangerous. I mean, God forbid you would forget your rabbit's foot, you know, then you'd be sunk. I mean, so I've tried specifically not to cultivate that kind of mindset. But I do live moderately. I do make sure I get enough sleep. My biggest thing I have to cut back on myself is caffeine, because I love coffee. And it really dries my throat out, so I have to be just in the morning on a performance week, that's a big sacrifice for me. And I also have to try to rest my voice a little bit the day of a performance and stay off the phone and, you know, all of those things. But I really don't get too involved in those kinds of rituals. As a single mother and a person who's traveling a lot and dealing with multitasking and press and everything I have to deal with, if I also had to worry every day about my throat, I think I would go mad. So that's why I don't do that.
Oh,
Sveti Moi from Rimsky-Korsakov's Servilia. René Fleming with the Mariinsky Theatre Orchestra, conducted by Valery Gergiev, from her latest CD, Homage, The Age of the Diva.
You know, René Fleming was talking about rituals and how she doesn't have rituals to give her good luck when she performs, but she does love coffee. And you might think about your rituals that you have every morning. You get up, you make the coffee, you unload the dishwasher, go get the newspaper, turn on the radio.
And which order do you do those things in? I suspect you turn on the radio first.
The radio probably wakes you up.
Well, I turn the radio on, and I'm somebody who really loves coffee, so you can understand my dedication to having the radio on first thing in the morning. And I'm pretty sure that that's probably your ritual as well. More important than the newspaper, certainly more important than the dishwasher. Maybe letting the dog out.
That's right. But it's something that's very – these rituals are all easy to take for granted, especially if it's not something that you have to pay for in order to get. So unlike the newspaper, unlike the coffee, unlike
the dog,
unlike the dog, WRTI is there for you every day, every morning, to be part of your ritual, to be part of your day, to enrich your day. So now's the time to put a value.
Take on another ritual, actually. Take on the ritual of going to the phone and picking up this wonderful, wonderful CD, and in the process having us say thank you for your contribution to WRTI to make sure that we can keep bringing you this music. You can become a sustaining member. You can decide that this is something you don't want to think about again. That'll be the arrangement. You'll say, I want to give you $10 a month. I want to give you $20 a month. You could even make a once-off payment and take this wonderful, wonderful René Fleming CD. I think you can actually break that down into monthly payments as well. I don't have my little ready reckoner here. But you can actually pay for this CD. Ask the operator. $75, you'll be helping WRTI, and you'll be enriching yourself.
$75 is $6.25 a month.
Oh,
nothing.
Did you do that
on
your fingers if you got a calculator?
Ha-ha. Just go to the phone right now and dial 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784.
And that's it for now. Our special thanks this week go to you, the listener members of WRTI, whose contributions make possible this and all of the other programs you hear on WRTI. Creatively Speaking's theme music is by Bill Jolly. Our executive producer is Jack Moore, and I'm Jim Cotter.
Creatively Speaking is a production of WRTI in Philadelphia. Support for the program comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.